Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits. Your courage and devotion to a dream are an inspiration to everyone in the 21st century marketplace.
We're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. And our phone number on the Small Business Advocate Show is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. It's toll-free coast-to-coast. And let me tell you who our guest is this hour. He's been with us before. He's our friend Steve DelBianco. Steve is a graduate of Wharton School of Business. After graduating from that school, he started his own computer consulting firm in 1984, which he grew to a company with revenues of over $20 million and then sold in 97. And then after that, he moved on to his position as vice president at the Association for Competitive Technology. You'll know that organization because Steve's been with us before to talk about that company along with his boss, the president, Jonathan Zuck, who's with us on a very regular basis. Steve also invests in and advises high-tech firms. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. And what I want to do, we've got a handful of things that we're going to talk to you about today, folks. But one of the first things I want to do is get Steve to give us a little quick update on the Microsoft case. You guys filed an amicus brief this week, didn't you?
That's right, Jim. It got a lot of press here in Washington.
Tell us what an amicus brief is.
Sure. The amicus comes from the word friend because it's called a friend of the court. So each of the parties in the case got to ask a friend of theirs to file a brief or a document to describe how they felt about the case. Microsoft asked our association to file as a friend. And our association represents, as you know, about 9,000 IT firms, most small to medium companies, who have a stake in the matter. So the brief got a lot of press this week because it really said that the Department of Justice case was looking for a radical misapplication of antitrust law that would threaten America's high-tech economy, particularly small to medium businesses who need the standard that's been established with Microsoft Windows to support the kind of application development and services we provide.
Why would you say that the government was looking for that kind of a case to, in essence, hurt that segment of the marketplace?
That's a good question, Jim, and it's probably true that the Department of Justice never intended to hurt the sector. It's a matter of them getting energized to support three or four companies who complained to the Justice Department a couple of years ago that Microsoft was frankly crushing them.
Which brings me back to something that I pointed out many times since we've covered this case in over a year and a half, and that is that the industry actually rained this nonsense down on themselves, didn't it?
I think they did. It was three or four players who wanted to slow down Microsoft, and a few of them have since backed off of calls for breaking up the industry and coming up with a new regulatory regime. I think they only intended to distract and delay Microsoft, and they may be sorry for what they brought on the industry.
They've got to be. I mean, you just don't invite the fox into the hen house, do you? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. That should have been so counterintuitive when they started that. But all right, so tell us a little bit more about the amicus brief.
Sure.
What you got?
It got most of the attention here in Washington, probably for all the wrong reasons, Jim. But it's because it had five of the biggest names in legal affairs signed onto the brief. Griffin Bell, the former Attorney General for President Carter.
Yep.
Katzenbach, the Attorney General for President Johnson. And President Clinton's legal counsel, Lloyd Cutler, so three from the Democrats side of the aisle.
Yeah.
We also had President Bush's legal counsel, Boyden Gray, President Reagan's deputy solicitor general, Lewis Cohen,
and antitrust expert
Howard Trenum.
Five big names.
Five big names. That got a lot of attention this week.
And they signed on to your amicus brief.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the main conclusions of the amicus brief, as it impacts small business, are that Microsoft obtained whatever monopoly they are said to have in a lawful way. Just like Netscape had obtained a lawful monopoly at the time in the browser software. So the question is, did Microsoft do things that were anti-competitive and illegal while holding that monopoly? And everything in this brief seems to indicate that even if you grant that everything the judge said was true, Microsoft was behaving like a fierce competitor, which is exactly what the antitrust laws want you to do.
What do you think will happen because of the filing of your amicus brief? Do you think that there will be any benefit? I mean, obviously, that's the reason you submitted it, because you hoped it would. But it, under the circumstances, with the players that are involved, how far do you think it will go in making a difference in the final result?
That's a good question, Jim. Briefs are read by the judge, and presumably he takes them into consideration when he goes to his next step in the trial. The next step is called a conclusions of law, where the judge takes the briefs that we submitted, as well as briefs that came from the Department of Justice attorneys, Microsoft, and some other friends of the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that conclusions of law then will lead to the next phase, or final phase, which is all about remedies. So what do we really hope to achieve? I think we want to raise the bar that there's a whole group of small, medium-sized businesses out here that love to compete vigorously and enjoy the standard we've selected, at least for the time being, the standard we've selected called Windows.
Mm-hmm.
We may change that standard to Linux, but we'd like to do so on our own terms and when we want to change it, not because some judge says it's time to change.
Well, and you bring up the word Linux. I mean, that's another operating system. That's more of a cross-platform operating system, isn't it?
It sure is. And,
isn't that much more of a threat to Windows than anything the government could do?
You know, it's definitely a threat in the server space. It's less of a threat on the desktop,
yeah.
And again, the desktop is less of a factor in computing anymore.
Well, the bloom, I'm not going to say the bloom is off the rose on desktop, but it is a mature industry, isn't it?
It sure is. And when handheld devices and set-top boxes for cable TV come along, what we're seeing is less and less reliance on what the operating system is for what we know as our desktop computer.
The velocity of the marketplace, in my opinion, is going to render any kind antitrust activity by the government basically inert. Don't you think so?
I hope you're right. And even if our brief doesn't sway the judge's feelings on his conclusions of law, one hopes that the judge will look at the cost versus benefits before coming up with a breakup remedy. Because after all, Jim, if the only thing that was being talked about in a remedy was, say, sanctions against Microsoft and asking them to stop certain practices, I can tell you that our association probably wouldn't be engaged on this topic.
Well, one of the things that I like to point out, there may be people listening who say, you know, what does the Microsoft case have to do with me running my little small business? Well, let me tell you something, folks. This is not about Microsoft, as far as I'm concerned, as much as it is about the government getting involved in the marketplace in an area where they have no business being involved. That's what it's about. And if they will get involved in Microsoft's business, they'll get involved in your business, which they do. And we talk about those things too, Steve. Stand by, Steve. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, we're visiting with Steve Del Bianco. He's with the Association for Competitive Technologies. If you'd like to join us, our number is 888-822-8255. I'll be right back with Steve Del Bianco. If you'd like to join me and my guest this hour, our good friend Steve Del Bianco, who's vice president with the Association for Competitive Technologies. Also want to remind you that you can get my newsletter for free by going to my website and signing up. It's smallbusinessadvocate.com, www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to sign up for that. Many, many folks are doing it every week. I'm getting more and more great comments back. People, thank you for those comments. It really means a lot to me because this newsletter takes a lot of my time. I enjoy doing it. It really is a lot of fun, but it really makes it worthwhile when you send me a little note and say, hey, thank you for the email. And Steve, I got one not too long ago. A lady emailed me frantically. Her partner had accidentally trashed the newsletter. I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but anyway, she emailed me and said, hey, somebody threw it away. Would you please send me another one? So it was nice to know that she cared that much about what our newsletter said. Steve Del Bianco is our guest, folks, and we're talking about the world of information technology. Steve, one of the things that we're going to talk about now is broadband connectivity, and my audience knows that I believe that when broadband connectivity becomes the standard for connecting to the Internet, for connecting up to the world and getting online, when that happens, when that becomes the standard for most folks, our world will change. Now, do you think that's too much of an overstatement?
No, I think you're right on, Jim. Just ask the viewers to imagine. Ask your listeners to imagine speeds of 10 to 100 times faster than the dial-up they're used to today. No more worldwide wait. Suddenly WWW stands for the World Wide Web instead of the World Wide Wait.
How about 7 different browser windows up at one time?
And each one of them that snaps back and responds as soon as you click on the send button.
Just think about that. It's just amazing. Talk to us about what's going on in the world of broadband.
One of the other aspects of speed that will make it so attractive, I think, Jim, is that businesses and content providers see broadband as the way they're going to deliver better graphics, audio in real time, and video, streaming video. And I think you want to also think about the fact that broadband enables internet-based interactive communication, so that you and I are looking at each other on our computer screens through a small video camera attached to the top of our computers.
One of the
hearing
things,
and seeing each other in real time.
One of the things we want to do before, and we've done this before a number of times, but I think it's worth doing again for people who maybe are just getting tuned into the broadband discussion, or even people who've heard it before. It doesn't hurt to hear it again. Steve, you want to give us a definition of what broadband connectivity is?
Sure, Jim. It's really the speed that's achieved by using a much broader bandwidth or a fatter pipe to send the signals to and from you and the internet. In the corporate world, those who have worked at corporations who've hooked up to the internet, they know what it's like. It comes from either a T1 connection or frame relay. And you would characterize it by being always on. In other words, there's no necessity to dial or log in. It's always on all the time.
And folks,
second, of course, is the speed.
If you've ever streamed anything, when you have broadband connection, you probably never see the word buffering. Right, Steve?
You do, but it's so brief.
Okay.
That it's entirely tolerable.
I don't have broadband connectivity, by the way, folks. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get it.
Jim, just about 6 months ago, I got it here at home. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
and I pay $30 a month for a cable connection.
Cable. You got cable modem.
Right. So I pay $30 a month for the cable company, purchased the cable modem for a couple of $100. And I have to tell you that all three computers in our home are always on the internet. If there's an argument at the dinner table, it's easier to click on a browser to get an answer than it is to go look up an encyclopedia.
They're always on, and they can all be doing different tasks on the internet.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And so after T1 and Frame Relay served the corporate world, for years, broadband's been available at home under something the phone companies called ISDN. But it really never took off. I think it's the new series of four brand new technologies that make broadband possible for small business owners and consumers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is what we talked about first, which was cable.
One reason cable never took, ISDN never took off. I have ISDN in my office and my studio to do the show, over which I do the show. But the thing is that it's $100 a month, and some places more. That's one of the reasons it never took off. Plus, you've got to buy fairly expensive terminating equipment, a lot more expensive than $200.
And how are the speeds at ISDN?
They're pretty good. Yeah, but my computer's not hooked up to that.
No. And the speeds available under cable DSL are much greater than they are under.
Are they? Now, see, that's something I was not familiar with. I wasn't sure about that. Stand by, Steve. Folks, we got some more things. Steve's got some news and some new applications that you'll be able to take advantage of with broadband connectivity. And that's coming around the corner. It's going to be here before you know it. 29 after the hour, we'll be right back with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. He's Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technologies. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're visiting with our friend Steve Del Bianco, Vice President of Association for Competitive Technologies. And, folks, we're talking about broad bandwidth, and there are a number of different variations on that theme that we're going to get Steve to talk to us about. The best way that I like to explain broad bandwidth, the difference between broad bandwidth and what we have right now, if you don't have cable modem, if you don't have DSL, if you don't have a T1 or even ISDN, if you've just got regular 56K modem plugged up to a regular phone line, what you've got is think of holding a drinking straw in your hand and try to pour a gallon of milk through that drinking straw without make it, you know, connect it up where it's not leaking, but all that milk's coming through that drinking straw. Well, you see where you're going to get a bottleneck there, and that's what's going on right now. You've got all this capability, all this information, and it's all ready to go really fast, but your connectivity that you have right now, if you don't have one of these broadband connections, your connectivity is a drinking straw. And what Steve said earlier about the fat pipe, this is where when you pour that gallon of milk through, it goes through in about a split second. And Steve, that's the best way I can think to explain how this works.
And you're right about the benefit when one is surfing around the web. And we can't forget, though, that face-to-face conversation over a video camera attached at the top of your computer, which is about a $100 camera, enables myself and a colleague in Phoenix the other day to have about a 45-minute conversation in real time.
No jerking.
I can see him and he sees me.
No jerking. No buffering or anything like that, really.
Well, I would say this. It's not going to compare to true television or face-to-face.
Yeah.
The technology's got to improve a little bit for that. But the pipe is big enough to carry it without any jerking, but it's a compression issue right now.
But the technology improvement, I mean, that's probably, what, months away or something like that?
I'd say so, but, you know, with things like this, for you and I to talk over the video camera right now would require that you also have broadband.
Yes.
So there's something called the network effect in computing, which had to do with a good example of the fax machine. The fax machine wasn't worth very much to you unless, well, everybody you wanted to communicate
right.
with had one.
That's right.
Right, and so the network effect says that the value of your fax machine increases as more and more people get them. And I think the same thing's true of broadband. As more and more people have broadband, the option of communicating both in video and audio with groups of people will increase because more people will have it.
No question. And see, that's what I mean. That's an example, what you're talking about, the video conferencing. That's an example of what I mean by changing our lives. Think about one of the things I like to talk about, because I just think it's an incredible, a great concept to think about, or something that people many times think are cliche, but I still like to use it, and that is the paradigm shift. Think about what will happen to the travel industry when more people can have face-to-face, real-time, no buffering teleconferencing. Think about that.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
That's just one industry, and of course there are a number of industries inside of that serve that industry. Think about what will happen to fuel sales when if in fact teleconferencing replaces quite a bit of travel. And the examples are endless, actually.
You talked about a paradigm shift, but the nice thing too is that it's not shifting any dimes from you to the phone company.
That's right.
These real-time audio video conferencing are free.
Yeah.
Because we're using the internet and it's packet switching and it's not carrying at all over the telephone network.
Well, you know, and sometimes you just don't want to, you just want to see the person. You don't have to necessarily touch them. You don't have to shake their hand, but you want to see the look on their face when you give them the information or when you get the information from them. And you can't do that over the telephone. You can't do that by email. And you can do it in person, and you can do it with video conferencing. And I agree with you. I think that's another important thing. Talk to us about some of the other – I want to move into distance learning in a second, but before we do that, talk to us about some of the other options in broadband connectivity.
We talked earlier about ISDN has given way to four brand-new ways to get it at home. And probably all of your listeners have heard some kind of advertising for cable hookups at the home, which is mm-hmm. to take your cable television line and – split it so that a cable modem feeds the computers in your house. Another is DSL or ADSL. DSL stands for a digital subscriber line, and ADSL is asynchronous digital mm-hmm. subscriber line. Those are just two ways of improving the speed of the telephone lines that go into your house.
Now, we've had people on the show before to help us understand the difference between DSL and ADSL, but I'd like for you to do it again.
From the standpoint of a user, there shouldn't be any difference, right?
Okay.
They both are roughly comparable in speed, reliability, and the costs are almost the same right now. I guess it's an appropriate competition. We'd like the telephone company to compete head-to-head with our cable TV company to see who can deliver it to my house the quickest and the least expensive.
Right.
Two more potential technologies, Jim, that I know that you've talked about before. One is the notion of using a satellite mm-hmm. receiver to pick up the download from the Internet.
Right.
But then getting it back up is a little more troubling. Typically, you have to couple your satellite on the way down with a telephone line to get back out to the Internet.
Right.
So it's a little more to cobble that together, and the speeds haven't been as good as they are in DSL and cable.
Mm-hmm. But if one way is okay, I mean, if coming in is okay, and you're in an outpost area, then there are applications for that satellite connectivity.
True enough, but what would you do if you needed to click on something on a web page or do a search? Suddenly you're in the two-way realm,
I see,
and
what
you have a way to get back out.
You're exactly right. And what's the other one that you were going to tell us?
And the final one is something you and I just discussed the other day, and that's wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all used to wireless on a cellular phone. But fixed wireless allows you to do it from a fixed location, like say, a house.
Mm-hmm. And that's a different type of concept, though, from a cell phone, isn't it?
Or is it? It's really a radio modem.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Stand by, Steve. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then we're going to move into something called ASPs. We've got another little acronym that Steve's going to introduce us to, but I think you're going to be interested in it when you hear about it. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter. Go to my website, www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and sign up for my newsletter. It's free. And while you're there, check out my archives. There are almost 300 up there and about 100 more on the way. and be looking for some new changes. We've got some new things coming up there that I'm really excited about. And I think you're gonna be excited about it too. Some new ways to work with our community of experts. Almost 300 experts who are part of our community, and we're going to be offering some new capability there that you're going to like. Steve Del Bianco is our guest. He's vice president with the Association for Competitive Technologies. Steve, well, I want to get back into the broadband connection for a discussion for a second. But before we do, I want you to tell us a little bit about ACT.
ACT was formed about 2.5 years ago when the IT industry woke up to the fact that the government had some plans for restructuring the way our industry was working. Started with the Microsoft trial, but it's moved on to internet taxation, e-commerce, privacy, encryption, and broadband litigation.
Now, tell us how to get to contact you, because, folks, this is not some this is a trade group. This is an organization representing the information technology industry, but it's not for the Microsofts of the world as much as it is for small companies like you and me who are interested in or involved in participating in the IT segment of the marketplace. Tell us how to do that, how to contact you guys.
Because Microsoft's one of our members, but we need thousands of other members that are small to medium-sized businesses. And our website is at www.actonline.org, and everything there can show you how to learn more about the organization and how to join. You'll find the dues start at only $100 a year, and we're a nonprofit, which means I work like just as hard as I used to and make no profit on behalf of the small businesses that we've all had.
Well, you know, small business owners know about that. They know about being nonprofits, but we don't always intend to be nonprofits. But we do know about how that works. Okay, I want to come back just for a minute and talk just a little bit more about the video conferencing, and you know, one of the things you were telling me off the air was that when you're video conferencing with someone, it's not as much sitting there looking at each other's face as you might think it is.
That's right. I do it a lot when I'm speaking with my, say, parents or grandparents.
Right.
But in a business conversation, only a little bit of time is spent looking at eyeball to eyeball. The rest of the time, we're bringing up on the screen together a shared view of a document, spreadsheet, a website, or a graph.
And so you're focusing your camera on those objects.
Don't even have to do that. Just by bringing it up on my computer, I can have it come up on your computer.
Ah.
And as I move my cursor around the screen, my mouse and pointer and click, you're seeing exactly what I'm doing, and vice versa.
Right. And talking to them simultaneously in real time. And that's very interesting.
Think about what that does for collaborating. Two folks are working together to complete something.
Yesterday I was talking to my webmaster, and I was having to hold the phone or had him on speakerphone, and I said, okay, pull up this page on my site, and you know the little thing over there on the left, you know, we were having to do all this sort of like I was almost like I was doing animal shadows on the wall or something. And so I can see where video conferencing would be very beneficial. This all leads right into distance learning, doesn't it?
It sure does. I think that interactive and being able to download courses, but also interacting with the instructor and other students is something that's enabled by this free transport called broadband.
How much education, I'm talking about K-12, undergraduate and especially graduate work, how much of that 50 years from now do you think will be done by distance learning rather than in the classroom?
Jim, that's a good question, and I'd say that a good 20-25% of the content can be delivered effectively over broadband.
I think people will be amazed at how much we will be doing off-site education in 50 years from now. It may take that long, not because of the technology, but because of the culture.
And think about being able to get it just in time.
If you're
about to learn a new practice at work and you need just-in-time learning, being able to click on a few sites and download course content and go face-to-face with an instructor to ask a few questions.
And see, talk about paradigm shift. Think about how that's going to affect the long-range plans of universities in this country and schools, for that matter. Okay, let's move over and talk about ASPs. Tell us what an ASP is.
An ASP stands for an Application Service Provider. And it's a new paradigm, to use that word for about the fifth time this morning.
That's a good word.
It's a new paradigm for how customers would pay a monthly fee to use software packages instead of purchasing, installing, and maintaining it themselves. It's something that's enabled because of the internet and broadband technology so that a business owner who doesn't want to take the time to maintain their own copies of Microsoft Office would simply download, whenever needed, update save all their files on the computers that are at another location, a server that's at another location, for which you pay a monthly fee to get on.
And see, one of the paradigms that's going to shift there is when that starts happening, your power is on the internet, not on your desktop.
Well, that's,
and that's going to change, that's going to shift the paradigm for people who make computers, isn't it?
It may well do that, but the current vision of ASP is sort of a hybrid, Jim, where there's still plenty of power on the local machine. But what you want to do is take the burden of maintaining the computer and
mm-hmm.
shift that burden to someone else who does it every day for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So many small businesses are dry cleaners, distributors, service stations, folks that don't do technology for a living.
High-tech outsourcing. Yeah. Stand by, Steve. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 50 after. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Steve Del Bianco. The Association for Competitive Technologies, ACT. The website is ACTonline, actonline.org, O-R-G. And that's the company that our good friend Steve Del Bianco, who's the vice president there, represents. And also Jonathan Zuck, who you know very well. He's been with us many times before. And Steve is filling in for Jonathan, and I think maybe what we'll do, we'll just fire Jonathan. I've decided maybe we'll just fire Jonathan, tell him that you did such a much better job than he did.
I sure will.
We'll have a little fun with him about that. Okay, let's, some of the things that we've been talking about, the ASPs, the application service providers, and folks, this is where, just to remind you, recently, actually, I heard Bill Gates talking about making Microsoft Office available like this, and I was a little bit the sticker shock. I had a little bit of sticker shock in the amount of money, but that's not really the point. The point is the capability. And Steve, you've been noticing some research that's been conducted on how ASPs will work.
That's right. The Forrester Research Group is thinking that about 20% of all application software revenue would come from these kind of hosted ASP services by the year 2003. And if we walk through an example
20%.
Of how it makes sense for the cost, maybe it'll seem a little more real for folks. You talk about Microsoft being available as an ASP, and there's a company called Centerbeam, and whose website is centerbeam.com.
Yeah.
For $165 a month per user, they'll come in and outfit your office with everything you'd need to handle wireless network, DSL internet access, which we talked about earlier in the show, either PCs or laptops, printers, email, technical support, and Microsoft Office 2000.
Stand by for a second now. Are you saying that includes the hardware?
It does.
It does?
Exactly.
And it includes the computers, the printers?
Everything.
And the connectivity?
And the connectivity.
What about the ISP?
That's all built in.
Not the ASP, the ISP.
Right.
Okay. The whole thing, so you're talking about from Alpha to Omega, the whole shooting match.
That's right.
Including the hardware for $165 a month.
Per user,
okay. When can I sign up?
Go to centerbeam.com. And they're only one of it. There's a lot of other companies that are trying to make the same kind of hosting services available on a subscriber basis so that you can concentrate on what you do best in your small business. And if it's not technology, it's a shame to waste time hooking up printers, doing your nightly backups, figuring out how to host a website.
That's one of the biggest frustrations of small business owners, especially the little companies. And like mine, I mean, in the last month, I've had two or three little incidents here that's taken way too much of my time to fix when I should have been doing other things.
Exactly.
And you're saying these people include that kind of support.
They sure do.
You just pick up the phone and say, hey, this is not working, I get this problem, and somebody comes over and fixes it.
Yeah, they're claiming to put a support team on call for you. It remains to be seen how well they'll deliver on that.
Centerbeam.com, just like it sounds, folks, Centerbeam, like a light beam, .com. Now, have you got some other sites that you know
of? Sure. Sun has a whole suite of office applications they call Star Office.
Mm-hmm.
E-Company offers accounting. NetLedger and IntraSmart and Intact all offer accounting apps.
Okay.
And then there's a company called SenseNet, S-E-N-S-E-N-E-T. There's calendaring, time management, project management.
Probably just put a .com on the end of those and you find their site.
Exactly. I think that I would advise any of your listeners to go to the search engine of choice and look for application service providers. And they'll get back a whole list of sites where they can compare and contrast the services that are offered.
Application service providers. Check that out, folks. Steve, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. You were great today.
Well, thank you, Jim.
I enjoyed having you here. We covered some good stuff, and I'm looking forward to having you back again.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Good job, Steve. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen, he's with the Association for Competitive Technologies. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, It doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.